The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Fionn Davenport, travel journalist and Lonely Planet author. You are very welcome. How are you, sir?
Hey, Jonathan.
Long time no see.
It's been a while.
Yeah. You have brought me to a city I've never been to, but it's very topical this week because if you are a fan of The Bear, it's starting a new series on Disney Plus on Thursday, and you are going to bring us on the ultimate guide to Chicago.
Indeed. Which, after many, many years of both living and visiting the United States, it's come to my attention that Chicago, I think, is my favourite of the old world cities in America.
More ahead of Boston?
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Oh, God, no. Yeah, sorry. No.
Boston. Sorry to Bostonians listening.
No, absolutely not. And I say this as someone who spent 11 years in New York, and I have a strong loyalty and affinity for New York. But if I had to do it all again, I would go to Chicago.
It's very cold there, though, isn't it?
So is New York.
Yeah.
But it's a four-season city, for sure. And if I'm not mistaken, so today, Tuesday, they're going through a heat wave, so temperatures in excess of 38, 39 degrees.
Which is spicy.
It's very, very hot.
And I mean, if there's not a breeze coming off the lake, then it's not pleasurable.
And that's one of the many reasons why I rate Chicago as highly as I do, is its location on the lake, which may as well be on the sea, such as the size of Lake Michigan. And it's the aspect of the city, whether you're in the downtown, the Loop, the famous Loop, and it's so beautifully positioned. It really is. It's just the downtown core, which oddly enough, is not lived in as much as other downtowns, certainly on the East Coast, are. And as a result, real estate prices are marginally cheaper in Chicago than they would be in their equivalent in Boston or New York or Washington, D.C. or Philadelphia. But it's just walking around this city of incredible architects. This was the city that gave rise to modern American architecture, because Mies van der Rohe moved there in the 20s, set up the Chicago Architecture School, and then you had Frank Lloyd Wright and a host of big American architecture names who really kind of left their imprint on the city.
So it's set out in good old traditional American blocks, isn't it?
Square blocks. Yeah,
it's walkable.
It's a very walkable city, yeah. So absolutely. And so you have this, so the central core, but what makes Chicago special is the central core for sure, but it's its rich collection of neighborhoods. And I think more often, certainly on this side of the world, like when we hear about Chicago neighborhoods, we often hear about them in a negative light. So there's
TV shows that probably ruin it a lot for people.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously there's, you know, this is a massive city and it's got its social ills, etc. And it's got its, you know, and so there are neighborhoods that have always struggled. There are also stunningly gorgeous neighborhoods. And, you know, where do I even start? Like Old Town is really, really beautiful, I think, which is just north of the city center. Wrigleyville, which is just above there. And Wrigleyville is where Wrigley Field is.
Yeah.
So
baseball stadium.
Yes. Now, not just a baseball stadium, Jonathan. It's the baseball stadium. And I say this as a lifelong Yankees fan who has been to Yankee Stadium in the Bronx many, many times, even the new Yankee Stadium. But there's something special about Wrigley Field. And because I was trying to really get a sense of it. It's the second oldest baseball stadium still in use.
Right.
So built 1914. And what becomes immediately apparent is it's not stuck in some barren wasteland. It's not in the heart of soulless downtown. And it's in a living, thriving, appealing neighborhood of houses where people live. Not super expensive houses, just ordinary houses.
Yeah, which makes it presumably very accessible,
yes,
Isn't it? Yeah. And yeah. There's a train, there's a very famous underground train, isn't it?
Oh, the L. Yeah. So the L isn't one. I mean, there's multiple lines in the L. So it's And I mean, were you a fan of ER?
I remember the train used to pass and it featured very prominently
always,
in ER.
Always.
Yeah.
So the romance of it for me. So I'm down and say I'm looking at the L, the red line, and all I'm thinking about is Noah Wiley finishing a shift and walking up the stairs to get on the L. And it always is like mad snowstorm, you know. So he's got like the big puffer jacket on. Let's start with, first of all, you want to get on the water. So the Chicago River. So not only is Chicago on Lake Michigan, but the Chicago River runs like a central artery that runs right through downtown. And it's a really great way to get close to the skyline, the aforementioned skyline of these wonderful architects, etc. And so, like, you get on any of them, there's a film with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston where he plays a guide on one of these Chicago tours. The name is gonna The Breakup.
Right.
Yes, that's it. It's The Breakup.
That came to you in a moment of inspiration.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Nothing,
nothing
to do with Claire, the
Claire,
producer.
The producer.
No, nothing to do with Claire.
Using her hands to go, break up, break up. And he plays a guy, and there, and so he plays like this really kind of sharp talking, very funny, very witty guides. They are actually like that. No matter which one, whether you're on an architecture tour, on just a skyline tour, or just an ordinary kind of river cruise, they're just great fun. They're a really nice way to get to.
You know the way there's two types of Americans, right?
Yeah,
there's
go on.
The ones you'd run a million miles from, and the ones you'd have great crack with. I'm presuming they fall into the great crack category.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago is a liberal city in the middle of a largely liberal state. And, like, for instance, the day I arrived was I caught the tail end of the No Kings March, which was, what, last Saturday week? Mm. You know, the march that took place, or individual marches in cities all over America. And the thing that I noticed was, one is how well-behaved everybody was and how, but passionate and fiery and all the rest of it. And the other thing that really struck me was, is that in a city that has a tradition of law enforcement issues, let's just put it this way, in the old bad old days of Richard Daley as mayor, et cetera, how sympathetic the police were in terms of not, you know, obviously they were doing their job and maintaining order, but there was a general air of kind of camaraderie between the police and the protesters. And that really struck me. So this is a city that...
It's a sanctuary city, I'm presuming.
Yeah.
It would fall into the category
of
sanctuary
so.
City. Yeah.
And for you know, it's a very welcoming place. I described it as like New York, but with Midwestern friendliness, you know. So anyway, and then, so on the lake, Millennium Park. So you're familiar with the Bean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called Cloud. It's Anish Kapoor. The statue is actually called Cloudgate, but everyone calls it the Bean. So it's this huge kidney bean, reflective kidney bean.
I love the way that people put a huge amount of effort into naming something like that, and then they call it like it was like
the Bean.
The Millennium Fountain became the Floozy and the Jacuzzi.
The Floozy and the Jacuzzi.
This became the Bean,
and or the Spire was the biggest needle on O'Connell Street, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But the Bean, and so one of the nice, everybody goes to the Bean. You want to take your photograph and the city reflecting behind it. But I'd say a nice tip is visit the Bean at night. Not only are there fewer people, but there's more atmosphere, and it's just really, really beautiful, particularly around Christmas time, which I've been to. There's a real sense of just twinkling lights and carolers. It's really lovely. There's also, they do free concerts. So there's the, it's called the Pritzker Memorial or the Pritzker Pavilion. And it's designed by Frankie Geary, you know, who did the Guggenheim and Bilbao, you know, the crate.
Oh,
it looks
yeah, yeah.
like all this like metal yeah. sheets all kind of scrumpled up. So he did like this concert pavilion all designed. And it's staggeringly beautiful. And they do free concerts. Yeah.
Which will help with your pocket. The other thing is it's a big city for comedy. The social media channel that I was following the other day, Jimmy Carr, was playing in the big theatre there. I can't remember what it's called. But he was thrilled to be playing there because you could tell that he really valued...
Tina Fey, Bill Murray, Amy Poehler, Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, like, and a host of others all came out of an improv group called The Second City, which is still very much active today. And it's in Old Town. And it's just it has launched the career. I would say it has been disproportionately responsible for more of the more successful comedians and actors working in America today, or indeed over the last 40 odd years, than any other single theatre I can think of. It's a remarkable place. And I didn't get to go to Second City this time, but it's... Like, they do, like, I mean, you're going to see the next Steve Carell or the next Amy Poehler or the next Tina Fey at some point if you keep going.
Yeah, it's just a brilliant culture that they seem to have put into it. Alcohol-wise, we'll get to food in a bit. Alcohol-wise, the biggest cocktails?
Oh, yeah, so they love an old cocktail. Like, there's great... And this is the city that gave us the Untouchables and, you know, Al Capone. And there's a kind of an easy throwback to the swinging 20s and the era of, like, lavish cocktails. And so you can... actually enjoy, and there has been definitely a resurgence of the cocktail buzz in the last few years. So the Aviary has this goes absolutely full theater. So it's like molecular cocktails with small plates, really, really beautiful. Downstairs, there's
What's a molecular cocktail? I'm an old man.
You know, they have it's all done with infused gases and things like that.
No.
Yeah, it's all cocktail that kind of
fancy drinks, yeah.
Very fancy
drinks.
Yeah, okay. Oh, Jonathan, come on.
It's far removed from a pint of Heineken.
I would love to go to a restaurant with you and have you peruse the wine list, my friend. If you want the more speakeasy vibe, then there's places like The Drifter, which is behind a bookshelf in the Green Door Tavern in River North, and it does does cocktails with live acts and things like that. And then in the Hoxton, the hotel, the Hoxton's basement, a place called Ladybird, all 60s glamour, smooth jazz from Thursday to Saturday. So that's another thing literally, we only have a certain amount of time, but I could spend hours listing all of the thematic experiences you can have in Chicago. And for that alone, it's a city that worth repeat visits over and over and over again. So you kicked off with the beef, okay?
Well, yeah. The Bear.
The Bear starts on Thursday.
Yeah.
So the writer of The Bear based it on The Beef. And The Beef is just like a shack restaurant that specializes in Italian beef sandwiches, which is shredded beef, just lifted and ladled into a bun, topped with some peppers, and then you can have some different sauces.
It's big. I mean, it's not a small...
It's not a small sandwich.
Slices of bread that you get from
Dunn's. No. It's like a proper bun, and it's ladled with beef. So... the actual place is called Mr. Beef. And so a lot of the early the first season was filmed on location. So you know the way when, what's his name of the chef?
We've got to look at Claire again now. She's thinking about it.
It's Jeremy Allen White's character.
Yeah.
But you know the way they'd all go out the back to have a cigarette break or a decompression break from the stress of working in the hot kitchen? So that yard is there. And so I took a photograph of it and the food is exceptional. It's really, really good. So I was saying...
It's Carmen.
Carmi,
that's it.
Carmi.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm not as close to him as you are.
So Carmi.
It's Carmi, yeah.
So here's one for you as well, right? I would have always thought that Chicago as being the birthplace of deep dish pizza.
Yeah, I was going to say that surely deep dish pizza has to...
Chicagoans don't really like deep dish pizza.
Oh, okay.
No.
We're over it.
Well, no, it's just that it's too doughy, it's too this. And so what they like is they like proper thin crust Neapolitan style pizza. And one of the places is called Spacca Napoli, which is, I think the founder is from Venice. So the reason why that matters will be revealed in a second. So they do thin crust pizza, as good as any as you eat in Naples, and they do an unbelievable tiramisu, because tiramisu is actually from Venice. So that's why. So it's a combination of Naples meets Venice in this place called Spacca Napoli, which is, just for the nerds out there, Spacca Napoli is a neighbourhood of Venice.
So
of Naples.
So they've gone all out there.
All out.
100%.
Then the other one I'd recommend, and this is very much on the kind of slightly fast foodie, because you can eat really, really well. There's a place called Au Cheval, which has, they say, the best hamburgers in the world. Okay? So much so that a friend of mine who had gone there during the week, he had made his reservation and went. He sat next to a 2-star Michelin chef just at the diner. Just sitting at the bar, and he was eating his burger, and he was like, "Oh, it's nice." And he goes, "Oh, what do you do?" And he's like, I work in a restaurant." Find out what restaurant it was.
Was it Carmi?
See, this is what I mean. It'd be like someone like that. And so, literally, is like the best chefs in America will come to this place, Au Cheval. So anyway, so I'm walking around Old Town, feeling slightly jealous that Chris had gone to this place, and then I walked up to this kind of hamburger shack called Small Cheval, and I'm like, okay. That's a coincidence. So I Googled it, and sure enough, it's like the little brother of Au Cheval. So I went in, had the burger, and I don't know if it was at the same exalted level as Au Cheval, but I tell you, it was really, really good.
But I mean, you only had a 1-star Michelin chef sitting next to you, but still, it worked.
And look, you can eat all kinds of food, all kinds of every kind of cuisine, everything is available to you in Chicago.
Can I go back to Wrigley Field?
Yes, you may.
I once went to the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
In
Fenway.
In Fenway.
Which is an amazing experience.
It's fantastic. But by God, it became dull after a while.
So it's an interesting one. Baseball is a hard sell for a lot of people. And when was this, by the way?
Oh, this would have been back in the early noughties.
Okay, so back then, this is before they introduced the pitch clock. So the pitch clock is a timer. So all of a sudden, the pitcher has X amount of time. I think it's like 30 seconds. He has to throw a pitch. Whereas back in the
He could have been scratching his proverbials.
Oh, yeah, he could scratch. Yeah. He could throw to first base. He could do anything to put the batter off. I went to see the Cubs play the Brewers. Over and done, 2.5 hours. Less than 2.5 hours.
You see, that's tolerable. 4 hours was getting...
4 hours is a long time to watch a game that most people don't really understand and has a lot of static moments in it. The thing is, I said earlier, Wrigley Field is in this lived-in neighbourhood, and it's like, even though there's another baseball team in Chicago, the White Sox, which have just as strong and just as ardent a fan base, I would argue that the Cubs represent something pure about Chicago, or the way Chicago likes to see itself as this just kind of heartfelt Americana. And it's so brilliant. It's such an enjoyable experience. It's such an enjoyable experience getting the red line up to Addison and walking around the ground, watching people go in. It's so beautiful and lovely to sit in the ground. And then even afterwards, just the atmosphere is so relaxed and fun. And I must say, if I had to pick a singular experience for anyone visiting Chicago, is certainly between April and late September, go see a Cubbies game.
I'm nearly over the 4 hour marathon that traumatized me in the early noughties with that. Lots of museums, lots of art galleries, and you'll see a lot of cool stuff if you go into them.
Oh, yeah. The Chicago Art Institute is one of the great art museums in the world. There's lots of different thematic museums. There's the Field Museum, which is their natural history museum. And it has, what's it called? Is it Sioux? It's the most intact Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton ever found. Like, it's an amazing space.
You've sold it to me. I'm going to Chicago. I mean, everyone at the moment is going, do I want to go to America? You've kind of convinced me Chicago won't be worth it.
Yeah, it's a great city.
Fionn Davenport, travel journalist and Lonely Planet author. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.